The prophecy of Habakkuk opens with these words in chapter 1. The burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. O Lord, how long shall I cry, and thou wilt not hear? Even cry out unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not save. Why dost thou show me iniquity, and cause me to behold grievance? For spoiling and violence are before me, and there are that raise up strife and contention. Therefore the law is slacked, and judgment doth never go forth, for the wicked doth compass about the righteous. Therefore wrong judgment proceedeth. In verse 12 he has this to say, Art thou not from everlasting, O Lord my God, mine Holy One? We shall not die. O Lord, thou hast ordained them for judgment, and O mighty God, thou hast established them for correction. Thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil, and canst not look on iniquity. Wherefore lookest thou upon them that deal treacherously, and holdest thy tongue when the wicked devoureth the man that is more righteous than he? And makest men as the fishes of the sea, as the creeping things that have no ruler over them. They take up all of them with the angle. They catch them in their net, and gather them in their drag. Therefore they rejoice and are glad. Therefore they sacrifice unto their net, and burn incense unto their drag. Because by them their portion is fat, and their meat plenteous. Shall they therefore empty their net and not spare continually to slay the nations? I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. And the Lord answered me and said, Write the vision. And make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. But at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it. Because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him. But the just shall live by his faith. Write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. But at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it. Because it will surely come, it will not tarry. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him. But the just shall live by his faith. The scene in which Habakkuk dwelt, the scene in which he received a burden from the Lord, which he saw a vision from the Lord, was a scene of darkness, a scene of sin, of rebellion, of iniquity, of spoiling and violence, of strife and contention. O Lord, how long shall I cry and thou wilt not hear? Even cry out unto thee of violence and thou wilt not save. Why dost thou show me iniquity and cause me to behold grievance? For spoiling and violence are before me, and there are that raise up strife and contention. All the world around him was in darkness, full of sin and corruption, full of strife and contention. And the prophet sorrowed because he cried out unto his God in the midst of the darkness, and there seemed to be no answer. How long, O Lord? How long in this darkness must I dwell? How long must I plead thee to save, to deliver us from this evil? All around there is strife and contention. Thy law is slack. It is not brought in judgment against the wicked. The wicked gather around, they compass about the righteous. They oppose and tread underfoot those who would follow God. The followers of God are despised and rejected. And the wicked multiply in number. All is darkness. How long, O Lord? Yet into this darkness, the Lord's light shines forth. In this darkness and in this prophecy of Habakkuk, we see the shafts of light, the shafts of the light of the gospel shining forth. Art thou not from everlasting, O Lord my God, mine Holy One? We shall not die. Because of thou, O Lord, we shall not die if we're thine. Though this world is dark, and though this world is full of sin, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and watch to see what he will say unto me. The Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. There's a vision given to Habakkuk. Light shining in the darkness. A sight to be beheld. If sight is given to see it. The vision is yet for an appointed time. But at the end it shall speak and not lie. It will surely come. It will not tarry. And the just who see it shall live by faith. The just shall live by his faith. Yes, light in the darkness, as was made plain at the beginning of time in the opening words of Genesis. In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, and it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. Such we see in this prophecy of Habakkuk. Darkness in which the Spirit of God moves and shines forth light in a vision to be seen by faith. All we see in the world around us and in the hearts of man, in your heart and in my heart, is violence, grievance, iniquity, strife, and contention. And all this does is bring God's wrath down from heaven upon us. And left in such a state, all we can expect is God's judgment and anger. All we can expect is death. Forevermore. But the light given unto Habakkuk declares, but we shall not die. Despite the darkness and the death which is all around us, despite the sin, despite the violence, despite the obvious sight we see of people being born, living, dying, born, living, dying, and the fruits of sin all around us, and the mortality of man, and the frailty of life, and the consequences of his rebellion, plunging man into the grave. Every day there are those who die. despite all the death all around us, Habakkuk knew that there was a God who was from everlasting. Art thou not from everlasting, O Lord, my God, mine Holy One? There is a God who does not die, a God without beginning and a God without end. A God who is light, a God who dwells in light inaccessible, a God in whom there is no darkness at all, a God who is holy and just and righteous. If there is life to be found, if there is light to be seen, it will be in and from him and him alone. There's no light, there's no understanding, there's no righteousness in man. Not in you, not in me. But there is a God who dwelt before ever this world was brought into being, who dwelt before ever you were born, and who will dwell in eternity long after you leave this earth. There is a God who is from everlasting unto everlasting, and all the hands of all men and women throughout time are in his hands. You are in his hands. To him you will answer. Before him you will stand. Unto him you will give an account of all you have ever done, thought and said. Then how will we stand? How will you stand before that God who is of purer eyes than to behold iniquity, who canst not look on iniquity? He cannot behold evil. How will you stand who are full of iniquity and full of evil before a holy God like this? Surely his anger will burn against you. Except he look upon you in mercy. And except there be found a way for this God to take your evil and take your iniquity and blot it out and shine into the midst of your darkened heart the light of God and eternity. Except this God cleanse you of your iniquity. Wash away your sins. Take away the darkness and make you to be righteous. Then you will surely die. But Habakkuk, when he looked unto this God, when he looked out of the darkness unto the light, when God opened his eyes to see the light shining in the darkness, could cry out in that light and of that light, O Lord, we shall not die. We shall not die because of thee, because of thy light, because of thy justice, because of thy glory, because of thy grace, because of thy mercy. We shall not die. How could he say such a thing when he knew the evil and the darkness in the world around him? On what ground could he cry out with such hope that we shall not die? He could cry out because the Lord gave him a vision and a sight of that which would save him. The Lord gave him a sight of that which could deliver him from his sin. The Lord opened his eyes, his blind eyes, and made him to see. The Lord put faith in his heart that he should see the vision and believe. A vision of grace, a vision of mercy, a vision of salvation, a vision of the gospel, a vision of the Son of God come into the world to save sinners, a vision of a man dying in the place of Habakkuk. A man crucified for him. A man bearing Habakkuk's sins. Slain in his place. Taking away his iniquity. Taking away the evil. Taking away the darkness. And bringing in for Habakkuk the righteousness of God. That Habakkuk should be spared the judgment that his sin had wrought. And be brought into righteousness. And be spared the death. And brought to live forevermore. He was given a vision and a sight of things that were hid from the wise and the prudent. Things that were hid from those around him. Things that were hid from those who despise God and the followers of God. He was given a sight of things that cannot be seen naturally. He was given a sight of faith. To look out of time into eternity. To look out of the natural realm into the eternal spiritual realm. To look beyond the darkness into the light. To see the grace of God pouring down from high as rivers of living water. To see the bread of God coming down from above and being broken for him. To see the blood, as it were, being poured forth as wine. And the body being broken as bread. To see his sin being destroyed in the body. And his sins being washed away by the blood. He was given a sight of Christ. A sight of his Saviour. A vision that delivered him from death. And brought him into everlasting life. Have you ever been given that vision and that sight? For without it you remain in darkness. And if it never comes to you, you will remain in darkness, dead forevermore. But if you're ever to live, if when you pass from this world to the next, you're ever to know eternal life, to dwell with God forevermore, then you must be given this vision, this faith. For the just shall live by his faith. We must have this vision. As Proverbs 29:18 tells us, where there is no vision, the people perish. Where there is no vision, the people perish. When you don't see, when you're blind, when you've not seen, when you can't see because you're blind and you can't see because there's nothing presented to see, you perish. But the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. This vision came. God showed this sight unto Habakkuk, and he said, write it down, make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. First it was written down. This vision of the gospel has been written down. It's recorded in the scriptures. It's been brought to you this day in the scriptures. You may take a Bible and you may read of this vision. You may read of the things of Jesus Christ. You may read of the state of man by nature. You may read of your sin and corruption. And you may read of the sending forth of God's Son into this world to save sinners such as you and I. It's there. It's been made plain. It's been written upon tables. It's been written down that you may run that readeth it. But you can take that writing. And you can hear those words and never see. And never see. But as Habakkuk is told, the vision is yet for an appointed time. But at the end, it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry. You may say, I've read the scriptures 1,000 times and never seen the meaning. I've never had a sight of Christ. I know all about him, but I don't know the power of his salvation. It's just words to me. Well, wait. Wait, because this vision speaks and lies not. It's the truth. It's the vision of Jesus Christ, who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am your way unto God. I am the only way unto God. I am the only truth in this world. All truth is embodied in me, and anything outside of me is a lie. And I am the life. If you will ever live, you will live in me. And if you remain outside of me, you will die. This vision shall speak and not lie. Because when Christ takes the words of this gospel, this vision, and speaks them by his Spirit unto your soul, you shall hear. As the dead who lie in graves shall hear the voice of the Son of God, you shall hear, for he shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. Christ is preaching his gospel today. The vision is sent forth. The light shines in the darkness. If you can hear his voice. Yes, the light shines in the darkness. Consider various visions you may read of in the scriptures. There are a number of accounts of different prophets, different patriarchs, different people who had visions. The Lord spake unto them in visions. And so often we read of these visions as being in the night. The Lord came unto Abraham in the night. He came unto this one and spake in a vision unto him in the night. He saw a vision in the night. Genesis 46:2, when God spake unto Israel in the visions of the night, and said, Jacob, Jacob. And he said, here am I. This vision comes in the night, in the darkness. But what can you see in the darkness? What vision can you see in the darkness? Nothing. It's all dark. And that's the point. It's dark. You can't see this with the natural sight. In the darkness, all is dark. But God has a vision that he makes plain in the darkness. He opens the eyes of the blind and shines his light into their hearts that they may see. When there's no natural light to see by. Here Jacob saw a vision in the darkness, not with natural sight or natural light or natural intellect or natural understanding, not with the aid of man at all. But God opened his eyes to see something hid from others. In type and figure, his eyes were opened to see a vision by faith. Jacob was given faith here to see. Abraham was given faith to see. All these of God's were given faith to see in the darkness. Though by nature they could not see. And you who sit in the darkness will see nothing in the darkness except God opens your eyes to see by faith. The intellect of man will not open your eyes. Great learning and teaching will not open your eyes. The best of theologians, except God use the gospel by them to declare his truth unto you, the words of even the best men will not open your eyes. You lie in darkness. But when he comes in the power of his gospel and puts faith in your heart and opens your eyes to see a vision, you'll see a vision in the darkness, a vision of the night. Habakkuk saw this vision. He wrote it on tables. He was sent forth to declare it and to preach it, as we do with the gospel. But you'll only see the gospel, you'll only see Christ suffering for you in the gospel when God gives you sight. Have you seen it? If not, wait. It will not tarry. And when you see this sight, you will know, and you will know that there is a God from everlasting. And you will know because of this sight that he's given you of a Saviour crucified. You will know by faith that you shall not die. But God must open your eyes. The blind cannot open their own eyes. They're blind. Someone must open them. We wait, as it were, by the wayside until God comes our way, until a vision comes that we might see. In the Gospels, we read of the blind men sat on the wayside, Matthew 20, and behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside, when they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out, saying, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David." They sat there blind. There's nothing they could do. But there came a day when Jesus walked past them and they cried out for mercy, and he touched their eyes and opened them and made them to see. Now that may be you, sat in the darkness. Perhaps you've heard the words of the vision. Perhaps you've heard or read the gospel or heard the gospel from men. But it's all words in the darkness, because that vision has yet to speak unto you. Because your eyes have yet to be opened. Because God has yet to put faith in your heart to see it. Perhaps that's you sat by the wayside. Well, wait. The vision will not tarry, and Christ does come along the pathway. And he does pass by dead sinners, blind sinners who sit there waiting. He has mercy upon the lost, upon the weak, upon the broken, upon the contrite. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him. Yea, also, he who transgresseth by wine, he's a proud man. Perhaps your soul is lifted up. Perhaps you're proud of your own abilities. Perhaps you think you see when you don't see. Perhaps you've heard the words of the gospel and think you've grasped it. Perhaps you think you've come to Christ, and all the time you're deluding yourself because it's all in the head. Well, your proudness, your pride, your great strength in yourself needs to be broken down. These blind men knew they were blind. Their pride had been crushed. They knew they were nothing. And when Jesus passed their way, their cry was, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David." Are you sat on that wayside? If you are, wait for the vision. It will surely come. For the just shall live by his faith. There is a vision to be seen in the gospel, a sight to be beheld, but there is a vision to be granted with which to behold it. There is that faith that we must have to see the sight which God makes known in his gospel. We need vision to see the vision. We need sight to see the sight. We need faith to comprehend the faith. For the just shall live by his faith. The just shall live by his faith. Oh, what a tremendous thing the faith of God's elect is. What a tremendous thing it is to have the eyes open to see. What a tremendous deliverance when you sit in chains of darkness with the burden of sin upon your back, crushed under the weight of your sin, feeling the wrath of God against your sins. And then there comes that day when the Saviour comes your way and touches your eyes, and faith enters into the heart, and your eyes open, and you behold and you see him. And you see him suffering for you. And you see him washing your sins away. And you see your salvation. What a tremendous thing faith is. To open the eyes to see that which was once hidden from us. To see that which once we were blind to. What a tremendous thing. For without faith it is impossible to please God, Hebrews tells us. Without faith we're dead. Without faith we cannot see. Without faith nothing we can do is pleasing unto God. Without faith we're blind. Without faith we walk in our own strength. We may come to the scriptures, we may come to the word of God, we may come to the law of God. We may set ourselves to living as righteously as we can by our own merits and our own strength. We may take the very law of God and seek to use it to model our life. But without faith we're dead. And we're told that the law is not of faith. The law doesn't demand faith. The law doesn't require faith. The law won't bring faith. Then righteousness won't come by the law. Salvation won't come by your works. And faith won't come by your keeping of that law. But when faith comes in the gospel, you see a law that's been fulfilled in the death of Christ. A law whose every demand and penalty against you has been answered and met by his blood. A law which has been nailed to his cross and taken out of sight. A law which has been conquered and delivered, and from which you've been delivered from. And you rise up in faith in Christ alone. You rise up as one who was unjust. As one who was wicked. As one who was evil. As one who was iniquitous. You rise up in Christ justified by him. Justified from all the law's demands. Justified from all the wrath of God against your sin. Just. The unjust made just. The wicked made just before a holy God. Made righteous. And the just shall live by his faith. It's a wonderful thing, this faith. A precious thing. Precious faith. To see and to behold a vision which was once hid from the gaze. But this verse, this proclamation regarding the just, has more than just the believer in mind. The just shall live by his faith. Those who are made just by Jesus Christ and his atoning work shall live by faith. But in themselves they're not just. In themselves by nature they're wicked and unjust. There is none just, there is none righteous by nature. There is none good. No man has ever walked this world without sin. Without corruption, righteous, except that one man, the mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. He's the just one. He's the just who suffered for the unjust. He's the righteous one. And when Habakkuk in prophecy speaks of the just here, he speaks of him. He speaks of Jesus Christ, the just one. The just shall live by his faith. If we're made by him to be just, then our justice, our righteousness, our purity is wholly in him. We are made to be the righteousness of God in him. We are only counted just because he's just. Then this, properly speaking, speaks of Christ. Christ first, and his people through him, in him. The just shall live by his faith, by his faith, by Christ's faith. If God gives us faith, it's his gift to give, and it's that faith which Christ lived and had that he gives unto us, which we, as united to him, as one in him, he in us and us in him, it's his faith by which we live. But it's his faith which brought about our salvation. It's his faith by which he lived, by which he brings his people to live. The faith of Jesus Christ. Which is why Paul, when he expounds these truths, when he takes this vision and makes it known in the gospel, in doctrinal terms in Romans and Galatians, speaks of this faith and speaks of this righteousness. He quotes this very verse from Habakkuk in Romans 1 and Galatians 2. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, he says, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness, the justness, the justice, the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. And that faith by which we live, that faith which is given to us in the gospel, is the faith of Jesus Christ. The righteousness of God is revealed by that gospel from faith to faith, from his faith unto our faith. He led by faith. He walked by faith. He was the forerunner of faith. He went to the cross by faith. And by going to the cross for his people and taking them into union with himself, sinners united to the just one, by being plunged into death for them, he brought down from heaven above in judgment against them and their sins upon himself the righteousness of God. He manifested in his death in judgment the righteousness of God as it was brought down in judgment against their sin. And as he went through that death, looking unto his Father by faith, resting in him, trusting in him, believing that he would bring him through the rivers of death safely to the other side. As he did that act of laying down his life, as he performed that act of faith, that one righteous act, the righteousness of God was manifested. And his faith was honoured. And his faith brought forth that righteousness, by which the dead then live. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. This faith of Christ is foundational to this gospel. It's what manifested the righteousness of God. It's what gives it the power. As Romans 3:21 tells us, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. When he laid down his life, that righteousness was brought forth to be unto all that would believe. And then when they are brought to faith, brought to believe, quickened to life by the Spirit, it is placed upon them. It brought it forth. It was in Christ as God from all time. In his life of faith which he lived in this world, he displayed the righteousness of God in all its glory. He honoured the law in all its points, for the law could find no fault in him. The righteousness of God shone forth through him. But at the cross, when he took the darkness of his people's sins upon him, he manifested that righteousness for them in judgment. And it was brought forth in the darkness. The light shone in the darkness. They who dwelt in darkness were made to be the righteousness of God in him. Their sin and iniquity was taken away, judged, and his righteousness was made to be theirs. Oh, what a life of faith he lived, and what an act of faith he performed at the cross. There's no greater display of Christ's true humanity than his faith. There's no greater display of his manhood than his faith. He lived by faith. He walked by faith. He lived a life ever looking unto his Father. He dwelt in this inner life of faith, always communing with his Father by prayer, always going off into a mount to pray, always dwelling with his Father, though men all around him railed against him and contradicted him and sought to put him to death. He lived, he walked with this life of faith before his God and Father. Wed unto God his Father, one with him, united unto him. Looking out of time into eternity, looking beyond this realm into the heavenly realm in which God dwells. The man Christ Jesus was sustained. He lived, he trusted in his Father. He lived by faith. That's what enabled him to walk through this world of contradiction, of strife and contention, of violence. He was a man of faith. And that is how the believer, wed, united unto Christ, follows on. United to him by faith, we have this life, this inner life of walking with God through Jesus Christ. With the same faith by which he lived. That same faith by which he brought forth the righteousness of God in the gospel. That faith is what brought Christ through death. That faith was vital to him to bring him through death and to raise him up the other side and us in him. It is his faith by which he saw in the night of the cross, when he was plunged into the darkness of death. In that darkness, out of that darkness, he looked by faith unto his God, and he saw, as it were, a vision in the night. He saw his hope in the night. He looked unto God and knew that he would be risen from the dead with his people. It was that faith which brought the righteousness of God to light in the gospel. It brought that righteousness in judgment upon him at the cross and us in him. And it is that which gives the gospel its power. For it's that faith by which he saw in the darkness and by which we see in the darkness. And in the darkness of this world, in the darkness of unbelief, in the darkness of our natural state, we will only see this. We will only see this truth that the just shall live by faith, the faith of Jesus Christ, if God grants us that same faith and gives us that vision. If he opens our eyes, if he puts that faith in our hearts, and if he does, then we too will know that the faith we have is the faith of Jesus Christ. The faith of Jesus Christ. It's this truth that runs through Habakkuk's whole prophecy. It's by this faith that he can cry out, "We will not die." It is this and this alone which gives us hope in the darkness. Hope amidst this people around us who are full of strife and contention. What are they contending against? What are they striving against? Why they contend, they strive, they fight against the gospel of Jesus Christ, the faith of Jesus Christ. And yet when you're given the vision and you're given the faith to see the vision, you see in that vision that in that gospel, through that faith, there is salvation, righteousness, life, light, resurrection from the dead, hope and glory, everlasting salvation. You see, when your eyes are opened, a light shining from the heavens and a voice crying out unto you, which is the voice of Jesus Christ, calling you by name, calling you to follow him, calling you out of darkness into the light, calling you out of death into everlasting life. You see a vision, and through that vision by faith you live forevermore. Saul, who became Paul, had that vision. He records of it in Acts 26, from verse 13, where he says to Agrippa, "At midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven, above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me, and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes, and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins, and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. Has God opened your eyes like he opened Habakkuk's, like he opened Saul's, to see the heavenly vision, to see Christ crucified for sinners, to see by faith your salvation? Have you heard a voice crying from above unto you by name, as it were, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And have you cried out, Who art thou, Lord? I am Jesus. And has Jesus, as he did with Saul and Habakkuk, forgiven you of your sins because of that which he did, as made known in the vision of the gospel, when he laid down his life for sinners such as you? Amen.